talked about 16 last year. We're going to take a drink. Let's talk about 16
again this year. We've talked about 16 quite a few times, right?
We have, but that's a good thing.
You know, I think everybody heard it on telecast last year and some of the comments Jack made when he was on TV that the players just voiced their concern about how difficult that hole's become when we get firm fast like we were last year. We had, you know, the greatest weather stretch we've had in my eight, nine tournaments I've been here. And that magnified, you know, some of the issues with 16. We've moved the tees 25 to 30 yards to the right of where they were before. Same distances. We won't see a big change in distance. But the green's more receptive. They don't have to carry the water as much, and you won't get short-sighted in that bunker that we deleted, and we made that approach, so you have better options around the green now.
How difficult was it? You obviously can't predict weather, but it feels like there's always, you know, there's always the occasional sprinkle. To not get a sprinkle, you said it enhanced things. Just what other challenges with this course maybe did you face as a result of having good weather, if anything?
You know, I think every year, you know, we're closed the week after tournament. We try to put this place back together as quickly as possible for the members. And we knew midweek that we're just going to need to lay back and let this thing recover because of how dry we were going to be through tournament. You know, normally there's some, you know, cultivation practices and, you know, some agronomic needs with top dressing and aerification. And we just backed off and really let the place sit out for 5 days and hydrate and get back to normal. And we got a couple of timely rains right after the event. So, you know, actually dry weather is a lot better for rough and recovery with outside the rope stuff. So, I mean, our members got it back in 7 days and we're pretty happy with it. But you have to make good decisions. We bagged a couple of practices that we were going to do just because we knew that we had it on edge.
The average fan, Chad, doesn't know that the course gets beat up during tournaments.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you really take what you do on a daily basis for the membership. You know we try to have, you know, firm, fast conditions on a daily basis for the membership, but that gets intensified, you know, four times more than what it is for a member, and that really just comes from, you know, mechanical stresses. You know, we're double mowing in the morning and mowing at night. We're double rolling in the morning, rolling at night, and we do that for 9-10 days in a row, and the turf just can't take that. So, you know, we have to back off afterwards and get the thing back healthy and ready for the rest of the season, which is a busy year for us. Every year we have tons of members that come in with guests and want to play the place through October, and so it's important for us to get it to the edge but not take it over the edge, right? Because that would be a bad thing for our membership.
How different is it for you having everybody start on one this year, not having split tees on Thursday, Friday?
That's a great question. It's something we're still trying to figure out. And, you know, for us, we're on the front side as far as our headquarters are concerned. I think there's some ways it's going to be a little easier for us. We're still going to attack this as if rain could cause it to be a back nine, front nine start. I don't want to change things in the middle of the week. So, you know, it's a little bit more efficient to work our staff in groups anyhow. So we'll have a group start on the back, a group start on the front, and we've just worked on our start time more than anything because it's a little bit later start for us than what we're used to. I think the afternoon shift's going to be a lot easier for us, to be honest with you. We've had to wait till both groups turn, both groups get far enough ahead on each side before we can start night maintenance. One of our assistants, Connor, and I have really dove into the signature events and looked at tee times, and we've watched it on the app and see what time are they on 7, what time are they on 9. And we're trying to dial in our start times off of that. But I think it's going to be fun for the fans, you know, to see everybody on one side of the golf course and know that your marquee groups are going through one section at a time. I think it's fantastic. We're going to roll with it like we do with everything else and fine-tune what we need to get better at next year after we've had a year to experience the front nine start.
What has it been like for you, Chad, to work with Jack Nicklaus? I worked out here, so I know all about what goes on a golf course. I worked out here in college, and he still remembers that. I don't know how, but does he amaze you sometime with his memory and all that and ideas?
He's just so locked in on the details. And, you know, he can tell you what club he hit in a 1964 U.S. Open. He's got such a memory. He's got an eye for detail. I think we share that. You know, I think we both have this blessing and curse of always looking for the negatives instead of the positives, and both of us go out there and we find the worst thing we can see and we try to fix it. But I think that's why we get along so well. And he's just sharp, and it's just been a wonderful experience to work with him.
But people, they don't realize that you have to change courses up out every now and then.
Absolutely. And, you know, technology, the athleticism of today's golfer, you know, what they're doing with the driver and you can't build a golf course that's going to stand the test of time without you know, taking a hard look at yourself every few years and making changes. And I know that he said it was the last bite of the apple in 2020, but I always say that was an apple, and we have another one now. But I love that about him. You know, we don't want to rest on our laurels and say that, well, you know, we didn't get a return on investment, let's not do this. If it makes us better today, let's get better today.
Right. For you personally, what's the balance between being reactionary to what you see and being instinctual versus what's around you?
I don't think you can be very good reactionary and audible if you don't have a good plan going in. So we have, we spend a tremendous amount of time planning things out, and we plan for every scenario. I mean, just like I said earlier with, you know, the front nine, back nine starts with our staff. I mean, if we have a rainy week and the tour is forced to do what they did last weekend and go threes off of both sides, I don't want to scramble and have our guys trying to figure out what to do on that day. So we're going to plan, and then I think you can audible pretty well if you have a good plan.